Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Since Gutenberg spun up the first printing press, and maybe before that, college students have been distributing leaflets.
But when the Northeastern chapter of the group Students for Justice in Palestine slid 600 leaflets under dorm room doors this month, it was a step too far. The leaflets were mock eviction notices used to draw attention to the Israeli government's forced evictions of Palestinians in the occupied West Bank.
Northeastern suspended the group, essentially banning it from operating on campus. But according to the university, not because of the content of the pamphlets, but for what it calls multiple violations of university policy over an extended period of time. But the group suspension has a lot of people questioning the effect on academic freedom. Among them is Harvey Silverglate. He's an attorney based in Cambridge and the author of the book The Shadow University, The Betrayal of Liberty on America's Campus. He's also co-founder of FIRE. That stands for the Foundation for Individual Rights. And Harvey Silverglate, welcome back to Radio Boston. Good to have you.
Good to be here.
Also with us by telephone, Max Geller. He's one of the leaders of the suspended student group at Northeastern Students for Justice in Palestine. Max Geller, welcome to you.
Good to be here. Thank you.
And we should say that we did invite someone from Northeastern to participate in this conversation. They declined. They did give us a statement, which we'll be reading from as this conversation goes forward. But Max, let me start with you. What's your response to Northeastern's sanctions against your group?
I mean, my response is one of disappointment. I came to Northeastern University with the expectation that it would be a marketplace of ideas where positions are debated and conclusions are drawn. And instead, I find myself in a place where an issue that I care deeply about is being described as taboo.
Hmm. Well, let me just read briefly. As we mentioned, no one from Northeastern wanted to take part in this conversation. Their statement says this, in part: the issue at hand is not one of free speech or the exchange of disparate ideas. The temporary suspension addresses solely the conduct of the undergraduate SJP organization and its repeated noncompliance with university standards and policies. Max, respond to that. So they say this isn't about free speech or the free exchange of ideas.
Well, I would say that those policies that they are enforcing against us are only enforced against us. I think students, at least in my experience, pass out unapproved flyers all the time, and you never hear about them getting disciplined. The content of our message cannot be ignored because the policies are only being selectively enforced against us.
Selectively enforced, you say. So Max, explain the impact of the sanction here. What does it mean to your organization that you've been suspended, that you essentially can't operate on campus? Are there financial implications? What does it mean to your group?
Well, we're no longer allowed to access university funds for paying speakers' fees or paying the costs associated with bringing outside lecturers or cultural events to campus, and we're also not able to even book a room. So if we wanted to show a movie, we would be unable to even reserve a space. And I want to say that this was the case before we got suspended. The university had a real sort of unease with the content of our political messages and took steps to restrict them prior to suspending us, and so much so that...
When you say the case before, are you talking about the demonstration last June when you folks walked out, essentially, of a... this was a presentation by members of the Israeli military, and you walked out, right?
Correct. Right. And I think that it's important to understand that we have been sanctioned for doing what is traditional protected speech acts, be it a walkout or a leafleting action. These sort of direct actions are consistently protected speech in other contexts, and fine when other student groups engage in them. It's only when SJP does it that we hear about it from our administration.
All right. Well, Max Geller, stand by. I want to come to Harvey Silverglate. Harvey, I'd like to get a response from you. I mean, obviously, we're hampered in this conversation in that I feel like we're not getting a full expression of the other side of this argument because Northeastern isn't participating. But what are you hearing here?
Well, first of all, the reason you're not getting the other side is because Northeastern side is absolutely indefensible. And I challenge anybody from Northeastern, including the most learned member of the law faculty, to debate me on this anytime, any place. They can't defend their position. Why? Because what these students were doing was the quintessential expression of political points of view. Northeastern says, but they weren't obeying the regulations. Well, let's assume that they were not obeying the regulations, and that let's assume that there is no selective prosecution of them here, that everybody's treated like this. The fact is that a liberal arts university that holds itself out as a liberal arts university devoted to free speech and academic freedom, they cannot enforce a rule that says anytime you open your mouth to say something other than, hi, have a nice day, that has to be licensed by the university.
But are they really saying that? I mean, look, if you want to demonstrate in the streets of the city of Boston, you have to get a permit. It seems to me that Northeastern University is saying that if you want to have a demonstration, we want to be able to say, okay, we want to know about it in advance. And they're claiming that they apply that rule evenly across the university. So it's a time, place, and manner regulation. Is that really about speech?
Well, the place happens to be a campus of a liberal arts university. Northeastern would never survive if these students brought a lawsuit. Remember, by the way, that not only is Northeastern bound by its own principles of being an open forum for discussion of controversial ideas, we have a Massachusetts constitution that has its own free speech provision that is far broader even than the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And these students could win the case if they had to go to court. Northeastern is squelching them under its so-called regulation providing for a license for speaking, because it not because it doesn't like the message. I don't think administrations like or dislike messages, but because they're suffering criticism from donors, alumni, and other groups.
But isn't there some part, I mean, again, I'm in a difficult situation here because I'm not completely clear why the university is taking this policy. But let me imagine that it would make sense to some extent to try to enforce or not enforce, but impose some kind of order and discipline on the campus so that there can be a free exchange of ideas.
If there was going to be a rally, which was going to attract hundreds or even thousands of people, including outsiders, then I can understand having a licensing provision so that they could have adequate security and so forth. But the idea that students cannot drop leaflets in the mailboxes of other students without the permission of Big Daddy, the university, is absurd for a liberal arts university. Northeastern cannot defend such a rigid enforcement of its rule.
Max Geller, let me come back to you. I want to ask you about SJP's plans, your group's plans. I mean, for instance, is there more freedom for you to spread your message outside the confines of Northeastern University, perhaps, on Boston Common, in the streets of Boston?
I mean, there are plenty of people who are interested in the issues we're interested in who do just that. But we're also interested in we are a campus organization, and we are interested in operating on our campus. We have a educational mission that we are unable to carry out right now. We cannot bring a perspective that is missing from campus to campus under the terms of our suspension. And it's not just a policy that affects us. It's a policy that affects the education of the entire student body of Northeastern.
All right. Well, Max Geller, I'm going to let you go. That's Max Geller. He's leader of the suspended Northeastern chapter of Students for Justice for Palestine. Max Geller, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
And Harvey, let me continue with you a little bit. You would argue, not to necessarily pick on Northeastern, that this is hardly an isolated case when you look across the landscape of American universities, right?
It is hardly isolated. And just to prove my point that this is not political on the part of the university, they have nothing for or against Max Geller and his views and his group's views. They want to control the message. They want to control the campus. They do not want trouble on their watch. That's the byword of academic administrators. No trouble on my watch. They're getting pressure from alumni, from donors, from political organizations, and they're shutting down the students. If you read the Northeastern Handbook, it talks in florid terms about this being a liberal arts university, the pursuit of knowledge, the pursuit of truth. This is a quote, the pursuit of truth, the exchange of knowledge, the intellectual development of students. That's what they say they guarantee. And they don't deliver because they're basically bureaucrats who don't want to have problems on their watch.
Mm. Well, this is related to that. I mean, to what extent does this particular issue come out of the difficult and sort of intractable debate around the Palestinian-Israeli conflict? I'm asking this only because around the country we've seen this issue flare up. It's a really hot issue on campuses. And do you think universities are just trying to dial down the temperature of that particular debate?
No, they're trying to avoid embarrassment, and they're trying to avoid criticism and pressure from donors, alumni, and other groups. That's what they're interested in. I have to say, in this particular case, it's the left that's being squelched on a campus. More typically, in my experience, and I have a lot of experience with these cases, more typically, it's the conservatives who get squelched. So it's not that the administrators are political. It's that they're interested in quiet on their watch.
Quiet on their watch. And what does that detract, in your view, from the academic experience?
You cannot have true intellectual growth if real argument is not allowed. And you cannot have real argument about a hot button political issue on Northeastern. But as I say, Northeastern, I see these cases at Harvard. I see them even at MIT. I see them all over the country. This is an infection that has infected higher education.
Harvey Silverglate is an attorney here in Boston. He's author of The Shadow University, The Betrayal of Liberty on America's Campus. Harvey, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
And again, we did invite members of the Northeastern University Administration to join us. You can see a copy, read a copy of their statement at radioboston.org.
There's more of the show in just a moment, so stick with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.